Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers. And that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke.
I've met a lot of strange people in my travels away from San Francisco. Little did I realize that right here in my own hotel, I would meet the most unusual of them all.
Buck Benny, the two-fisted, quick-triggered marksman who shoots from the hip and never misses.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of Gunsmoke and Have Gun Will Travel. We're on the last 14 episodes of Have Gun Will Travel, so we don't have too many more of those. The Gunsmoke episode today focuses on Doc. And I love the episodes that focus on Doc because I love Howard McNear and the way he plays Doc. Howard McNear is probably most famous for playing Floyd the Barber on The Andy Griffith Show. And if you're a longtime listener, you've heard me talk about him before, but what just a fabulous, great actor, and all the stories that the other actors have about him is he was just a joy to work with. And we get to experience him here, which is really nice. He passed away in 1967, I believe. His last couple years on The Andy Griffith Show, if you notice, he's never standing up or walking anywhere because he'd had a stroke and couldn't walk. So they had him in sitting in the barber chair. Instead of doing people's hair, he'd be sitting in the barber chair and they'd come up to him, or he'd be sitting on a bench, that sort of thing. So I hope that you're all going to enjoy these two great episodes, wonderful sounding episodes, by the way, of Gunsmoke and Have Gun Will Travel. Enjoy.
Gunsmoke, brought to you by L&M Filters. This is it. L&M is best, stands out from all the rest. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful. And a little lonely.
Hey, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, what, Chester?
Ain't that Doc's buggy setting out by Joe Crumley's shack there?
Huh? Yeah, must be. Nesters like them couldn't afford a buggy.
Yeah.
There it is. Yeah, let's stop and see what's going on, huh?
All right, sir. I bet old Doc will be surprised to see us way out here.
Yeah, it's not much of a place Crumley's got there, is it?
Sure ain't. My. You better quit if you ask me.
Now, let's time to the buggy, Chester.
All right, sir.
Who's that out there?
It's Matt Dillon, Miss Crumley.
Hello, Marshal.
Ma'am?
Matt?
Hi, Doc.
Chester.
Hello, Doc.
We were on our way to Fort Larned, and we saw Doc's buggy, so we thought we'd stop and say hello.
How you do, ma'am?
Chester.
Your husband sick, Miss Crumley?
No. No, Marshal.
He died, Matt.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, ma'am.
Doc done all he could. Just weren't no use.
I might as well not have come. I couldn't do a thing for him.
Now, Doc, don't say that. You've been up 24 hours trying to save
him. It's not time that saves a patient, Mrs. Crumley. It's knowledge. Knowledge I don't have.
You know what there is to know, Doc. Nobody knows more.
Your husband's dead, Mrs. Crumley. I wanted to save him.
You tried.
What are you going to do now, ma'am? Can we help you in any way?
Thank you, Marshal. There's nothing. With Joe gone, I can't stay here. I reckon in a day or so I'll pack up and move on. I don't know where I'll go. I've got no place. Excuse me, I've got to get inside.
Oh, that poor lady.
He didn't have to die.
It's not your fault.
Well, then,
Doc,
whose fault is it, I'd like to know?
Now, Doc, you're not making sense.
It's being a doctor that doesn't make sense. Spending my life trying to look into the faces of people like Mrs. Crumley and having to listen to them thank me for letting their people die. Oh, I'm sick.
You need a drink, Doc.
I know what I need. Now, why don't you leave me alone? Get your horses off my buggy and go on up to Larned or wherever you're headed for.
Yeah, sure, Doc. Come on, Chester.
Matt?
Yeah, Doc.
How long are you going to be gone, Matt?
No. Maybe a week.
When you get back to Dodge, I'll buy you a drink.
Thanks, Doc.
If I'm still there. Yep, come on, go.
Betchel, Marshal. Jameson Betchel.
Well, how do you do, sir? This is Chester Proudfoot.
Chester?
How you do?
I came by before, Marshal, but your office was locked up.
Well, we've been away. We just got back. What can I do for you, Mr. Betchel?
Why, nothing, sir. Only wanted to meet you. I met most everybody in Dodge by now. I've been getting acquainted. You know how it is when you move to a new town.
You going into business of some kind?
Well, not exactly, Marshal. I'm a professional man.
Oh, what?
Well, that is, I'm a doctor, Chester.
I know. Well, we've got a doctor.
Yes, indeed. Well, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure meeting you both, and I'm sure we'll be good friends. I would admire to buy you both a drink next time we meet. Good day, gentlemen.
Good day, Dr. Betchel. It's a funny thing, Chester.
What?
Doc said he'd buy me a drink when I got back.
He did?
Yeah. If he's still here, he said.
Stands out
from all the rest.
Miracle Tip, much more flavor. L&M's got everything.
It's the best.
Yes, L&M's got everything. Superior filtration. Superior taste.
Superior filtration because of L&M's superior filter. White. All white. Pure white. The purest tip that ever touched your lips.
Superior taste because of L&M's superior tobaccos. Tasty, full of flavor, and light and mild.
No doubt about it. L&M is America's best filter tip cigarette.
This is it. L&M filters. L&M's got everything.
It's the best.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, Chester.
You want to stop in Delmonico's for a cup of coffee?
All right.
Hey, look, Mr. Dillon.
What?
Over yonder. It's Doc, by the window there.
Well, he hasn't left.
No, sir. Hey, there's Miss Kitty. Out there in the back there, see?
Oh, well, I'll go say hello to her, Chester. You go sit with Doc. I'll join you in a couple of minutes.
All right, sir.
Well, hello, Matt.
Hello, Kitty.
Sit down.
Oh, thank you.
Good to see you back.
How are you, Kitty?
Well, I'm all right, but I'm the only one.
Oh, what do you mean?
I mean Doc. He's acting like a bear.
Oh?
I asked him to sit with me when he came in, but he just grumbled something about not being fit company for anybody. And he went over there and sat all by himself. You know, he's been like that for a week.
Yeah. He took Joe Crumley's dying pretty hard, Kitty.
Well, that's just part of it, Matt.
Oh?
This new doctor, Betchel. Ever since he came, Doc's been getting grumpier. Maybe he's been losing patience, but... Special.
Doc's never had any competition before.
Well, he's got it now. Look.
What?
Betchel.
Oh. Yeah.
Now, what's he up to? You know, he better stay away from Doc if he knows what's good for him.
Well, maybe he's only trying to be friendly.
I don't want to talk to you about anything.
Don't you get all riled up, Adam.
There's going to be a fight in a minute, Matt.
Yeah, I better go see what this is all about, Kitty.
Let me know if you find out.
Yeah, I will.
...to explain my position, and if you care to listen to me for a minute instead of hollering all the time...
Well, maybe I'll start carrying a gun, Betchel.
Hello, Doc.
Matt.
Hello there, Marshal.
Sit down, Betchel.
Well, thank you, sir. I was about to.
Just what are you buttoning on this for, Matt? Why don't you go arrest some drunks or do what you're supposed to be doing?
It's good to see you, Doc.
Oh, it is.
Hey, Doc, there's Jake Worth out there. He's beckoning to you.
Why don't you go see what he wants, Chester?
Yes, sir.
Who is Jake Worth? I don't think I've met him.
Jake's a rancher, one of the biggest in the country.
Yes, you ought to meet him, Betchel. Yes, he's worth a lot of money.
Oh, now, Doc, there's enough here for both of us. He just won't be reasonable, Marshal.
Reasonable?
About what, Betchel?
About my practicing here. I don't see why we should be in competition, do you?
Well, if there are two doctors in the place, I guess they're bound to be in competition.
Oh, two doctors.
Now, wait just a moment. Everybody I've talked to admits there's more work here than one man can handle.
Well, I guess that's true, isn't it, Doc?
Oh, sure, yes, that's true.
Why, of course it is. I've already got some patients. Now, my idea is to split the practice in a friendly way and then really go to work. We'd still have more than either of us could do.
Tell him the rest, Betchel. Oh, yes, tell him the real idea.
Well, sir, since we will be giving people better care and all, well, it's only fair we get paid more for it.
What do you mean?
He wants me to agree to a raise in fees, Matt. Yes, a raise. He wants to make a lot of money.
Everybody pays more than they can afford, or they stay sick, according to him.
Well, now, why shouldn't they pay more?
Where'd you get the idea that being a doctor is like running a business, Betsy?
There's nothing wrong with a doctor's making a living, is there?
You haven't even proved to me that you are a doctor, Betsy.
Are you going to start that again?
He's one of these bleeding blister men, Matt. That's all he knows.
Now, Dr. Adams, I am a patient man, but I've got my limits. Now, you watch what you're telling everybody about me, or there's going to be some trouble.
Are you threatening me?
Well, I'm just not going to stand for any more of your talk.
Well, what are you going to do about it, then?
I'm going to insist on...
Doc?
Yes, what is it, Chester?
Jake Worth has brought his boy to see you.
Jake? Which boy?
Billy. You know, Doc, the puny, sickly one. Jake says he's getting worse. He's took to having fits lately. He's got him in a wagon outside.
All right, Chester.
I think I'll go with you, Doc.
You'll be in better company than staying here.
You're jealous, Adams. You're jealous, and what's more, you're greedy.
That's enough, Betchel.
Why, sure, you're on his side, Marshal. But I don't care. I've already got quite a few folks on mine.
Any scoundrel can fool people for a little while. You coming, Mass?
Yeah, okay. You're being pretty hard on him, Doc.
Not hard enough.
Doc, over here.
Hello, Jake.
Hello, Doc. Marshal?
How are you, Jake?
I just couldn't leave him here alone, Doc. I never know when he's going to have one of them fits again. They come on terrible sudden. I got him in the back of the wagon here.
Wait a minute, Jake.
What's the matter, Doc?
I might as well tell you now. There's no use my even looking at your boy.
What?
Fitz and the way your boy is, I don't know anything to do for him.
But you gotta do something.
I'm sorry, Jake. I'm real sorry.
Maybe I can do something, Mr. Worth.
Who are you?
My name is Betchel, Jameson Betchel. I'm the new doctor.
Oh, sure. I've heard about you.
Oh, and I don't listen to him, Jake. He can't help your boy any more than I can.
Doc Adams is a little old-fashioned, Mr. Worth. I can tell you there's always something that can be done for any patient.
Oh, that's a lie.
Let him talk, Doc. At least he's willing to try.
There's nothing to try. I tell you, medicine doesn't understand cases like your boy yet.
You're jealous of Dr. Betchel, ain't you?
Oh, my jealous.
Well, that's what I've heard folks saying. I didn't believe it at first, but I do now.
Jake, I've heard all I need to know about Betchel's doctrine around here, and I don't think he should be practicing at all.
I've told you to stop saying that.
Now, wait a minute, Betchel. Let him talk.
Well, I don't want to hear no more talk. No wonder so many folks are turning away from you, Doc. They need somebody who will help them, that's why.
You think bleeding your boy is going to help him?
There's other ways to treat him besides bleeding.
Like what?
Well, if you don't happen to know, I
don't... Come on, Dr. Betchel. Get to work on the boy.
Why, certainly, Mr. Worth. Perhaps it'd be better if you drive him home first. I'll get my horse and follow.
Anything you say, Doctor.
Matt?
Yeah, Doc.
I'm going to take down my shingle. And I mean it this time.
Oh, now, Doc, you can't do that.
You just come and watch.
Once Doc made up his mind about something, there was no talking him out of it. He took down his shingle, all right, but nobody seemed to care much. Till 2 days later, when Betchel nearly doubled his fees. Then everybody blamed it on Doc somehow and got mad at him. But that didn't bother Doc. He started going to bed early and sleeping late for a change. And most of his time was spent in my office playing penny ante poker with Chester. He wouldn't even talk about it. Till the day I heard something I thought might rouse him, I went back to tell him about it.
I'd ask Randy Clare, Doc. You just amaze me somewhere sometimes. Mr. Dillon, you ought to get in this game. This is the easiest money I ever made.
Oh, yeah. That's so I'll get it back, Chester. The whole 90 cents.
Doc.
Yes, Matt.
You know old Miss Cullen.
Mrs. Cullen? Well, I ought to. I brought her back to life half a dozen times.
Well, you won't have to anymore, Doc.
What's happened?
She died about noon today.
She did?
Dr. Betchell decided a good bleeding was what she needed.
Bleeding? That poor old lady.
Yeah, her boy told me.
No wonder she died. She couldn't stand that. Why didn't she send for me?
Well, maybe she'd heard that you'd quit.
I'd have gone if she'd wanted me. The only reason I quit is so people will find out in a hurry what kind of a doctor this Betchell is. It'd take him twice as long if I was still on the job. And the sooner they find out, the less harm he'll be able to do.
What about Miss Cullen?
Oh, she was 90 years old, Matt. Betchell killed her all right, but she couldn't have lived much longer anyway. Maybe her death will save lives in the long run. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess you're right, Doc. I hadn't thought about it that way.
I'm going to go to the Alphaganza and have me a drink. Anybody want to join me?
To you, to the thousands of smokers who are changing to L&M every day, to the millions who now smoke L&M, here is your assurance. L&M gives superior filtration because of its superior filter. Superior taste because of L&M's superior tobaccos. Yes, L&M tobaccos are tasty, full of flavor, and light and mild. And L&M's superior filter is the purest tip that ever touched your lips. It's white. All white. Truly the miracle tip, because when it's added to L&M's superior tobacco, it actually tones up the taste, actually improves your enjoyment of this great cigarette. Yes, L&M's got everything. Superior taste, superior tobacco, superior filter. That's why it's America's best filter tip cigarette. Try L&M today.
Buying, Doc?
Oh, yes, I'm buying, Chester.
You know, a man who isn't working shouldn't be spending money, Doc.
Can't think of a better time to spend it.
Marshall, Doc. How are you, Sam?
What'll it be, gentlemen?
Shot of rye and a glass of beer all around, Sam.
Sure, Doc.
Oh, Sam, by the way, how's your back feel?
Oh, why? I haven't noticed it so much lately.
Well, I told you it might go away by itself.
Well, you said there was nothing you could do for it, so I went to see Dr. Betchell.
Oh, he did. I suppose he fixed it, huh?
He told me to mix some cold water and vinegar and salt and rub it with that.
Vinegar?
I've also been taking unicorn root and cayenne pepper.
Well, you're a strong man if that hasn't ruined you.
Well, made me so sick I can't feel my back no more. Doc, I shouldn't have gone to him. That ain't no way to treat anything. I'll get you your drinks now.
Well, Doc, there's one man who's found out.
One isn't enough, Matt.
Doc.
Hello, Jake.
You gotta come out to the ranch, Doc. You gotta come out now.
Why? What's wrong?
It's the boy, Billy. Oh.
Well, I can't go, Jake.
Of course you can.
It's not my case.
I told Dr. Betzel not to come back no more. I told him on my way in here.
I guess you didn't make it too clear, Jake.
What?
I might have known that this was what you had in mind.
What are you doing here?
You're after Dr. Adams to take care of Billy, eh?
I sure am.
Well, he's not going to do
don't
it.
Don't you tell me what I'm going
to
do.
Betzel, after what you've done to that boy, it's a wonder he's still alive. I should have stopped you right off.
What did he do, Jake?
I'll tell you what he did, Marshal. When it got real cold at night, he took the boy's clothes off and made him go outside and lay on some sacks. And then he throwed buckets of ice-cold spring water on and kept it up until Billy was hollering and screaming. That finally made him quit. And that boy's real sick now. But Betchel ain't gonna get nowhere near him again.
If you'd have let me finish the treatment, he'd been all right.
Finish the treatment? If he'd have let you finish the treatment, the boy'd have died of pneumonia.
Adams, you talk anymore. I'm just gonna tear you open.
No, you're not, Betchel.
Oh, let him fight his own fights, Marshal.
No, I won't let him. Doc's too valuable a man to get busted up in a brawl.
Why, golly, the Marshal's right. I'll stand up for him, too.
You're just a fool, Jake.
Get out of the way. You coming with me, Doc?
On one condition.
What?
That Betchel leaves town.
Why, you can't...
All right, hold it, Betchel.
I don't know how you got started in this business. Probably in a medicine show. It's happened before. But you're a fraud. You're the most obvious fraud I ever saw.
I won't.
And I won't stand for your posing as a doctor anymore. Not around here, I won't. You've done all the harm you're gonna do.
I'm with you there, Doc.
I said I'd tear you open, Adams, and I'll...
Got a knife.
Don't try it, but...
Look out, Mr. Dillon! Hey, what
happened? I might have known a doctor would be carrying a knife.
He ain't no more doctor than I am.
Chester...
Yes, sir?
When he comes to, lock him up. We'll throw him on the first stage, leaving Dodge.
I'll do it with pleasure, Mr. Dillon.
Will you come now, Doc?
You understand, Jake. I can't cure your boy's fits.
I should have listened to you in the first place, Doc.
There are a lot of people who should have, Jake.
That's true, Marshal. Will you come, Doc?
You can keep those drinks, Sam. I don't have time to waste in here anymore.
This is William Conrad. As you may know, Gunsmoke is going into its second year on radio.
Now, during this time, many of you have written the makers of Chesterfield and L&M Filters, asking them to put Gunsmoke on television, too. Well, here's some good news for you. Gunsmoke is going on TV, starting Saturday, September 10th, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, over the CBS television network. If you enjoy our radio shows, I know you'll go for Gunsmoke on TV. Now TV will have an authentic adult Western, the Gunsmoke you know. Remember, next week, Gunsmoke Radio at this time, and in 2 weeks, Gunsmoke TV at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Both brought to you by Liggett and Myers, makers of Chesterfield and L&M Filters.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin, James Nusser, Frank Cady, and Ann Morrison. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNair is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Put a smile in your smoking. Next time you buy cigarettes, stop. Remember, only Chesterfield is made the modern way with Accuray. This amazing quality detective electronically checks and controls the making of your Chesterfield, giving a uniformity and smoking quality never possible before. For the first time, you get a perfect smoke column from end to end. From the first puff to the last puff, Chesterfield smokes smoother. Chesterfield smokes cooler. Chesterfield is best for you. Next time you buy cigarettes, stop. Remember, Chesterfield is made the modern way with Accuray.
Put a smile in your smoking, just give them a try. Light up a Chesterfield, they satisfy.
Remember, listen again next week for another transcribed story of the Western frontier. It's America growing west in the 1870s. It's Gunsmoke, brought to you by L&M Filters.
I know more about this desert than you do. Does the money you might get from our client mean more to you than your life?
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875, the Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
Oh, Mr. Paladin.
Yes, hey boy.
You enjoy sit here? Relax, smoke a cigar, read newspaper?
Oh, I certainly do, hey boy. That's why I gave you specific orders that I was not to be disturbed today. I need a little rest and relaxation.
Oh, my.
What's the matter with you?
Oh, don't know.
You seem quite troubled, eh, boy? What is it?
Oh, don't know. Business condition, maybe?
Oh, I see, yes. Well, it's up and down, hey, boy.
Oh, ye, sir. Ye down today, all right.
I take it the guests in the hotel haven't been exactly lavish with their tips, huh?
Mr. Paladin, darn right stingy.
Oh, well, it'll pick up.
Yes, sir. Hey, boy, have good reason to feel encouraged, but, he don't know.
All right, hey, boy. What is it?
Mr. Paladin, see that man stand over there by desk?
Uh-huh.
That man, his name, Mr. Higby. He said, hey, boy, do you know where I can find Mr. Paladin?
And?
Hey, boy, I remember Mr. Paladin say, do not wish to be disturbed. So, hey, boy, say, oh, no, sir.
You were quite right, hey, boy.
Yes, sir. Oh, then a man reach in pocket, pull out big tip and say, be worth good deal to me if I could talk to Mr. Paladin.
Then what did you do?
Oh, I just walk away. Come over here, ask you if you enjoy wasting time, smoke cigar, read a newspaper.
I see. All right, hey boy, bring him over.
Why, Isa, like you say, our business all up and down.
That's a warning signal for all drivers. And that can be a warning signal for drowsy drivers on long, monotonous trips. You see, driving can make you drowsy no matter how much sleep you get. And driving and dozing just don't mix. Why take chances? Take no-doze, stay-awake tablets.
Millions of times a year, Safe No Doze keeps drivers awake and alert, helps you bounce back so that you feel sharp, ready for any emergency. How does No Doze do it? Ask your doctor. He'll tell you that No Doze contains a safe and accurate amount of caffeine, the same refreshing stimulant you get in your coffee or tea. But Safe No Doze acts faster, is handier and more reliable. Best of all, it is not habit-forming. And No Doze is so safe, it is legally sold on a national basis without a prescription. Get No Doze Stay Awake tablets to help you stay awake and alert. It could save your life.
And now, Mr. Higby, what can I do for you?
Do you know the name Solomon Fisk Bibber?
Of course.
And when you hear that name, what do you think?
You really want to know?
Well, naturally, the first thing that comes to anyone's mind in connection with that name is wealth. Fabulous wealth.
Well, the way I put it, Mr. Higby, is filthy rich, and I mean filthy.
Sir?
Well, I can never seem to forget that he got the start on that fortune of his by profiteering during the war.
Oh, come now, that's neither here nor there.
Well, it is to me, but... Anyway, what about Solomon Fisk Bibber?
Well, I've been on a rather interesting assignment for that gentleman. I've just arrived here from the Orient on the steamer Prospero.
Oh, the Prospero docked this morning, didn't she?
Yes.
Yeah.
Carrying in her holds the treasure it took me the better part of a year to search out on an unlimited expense account, you understand.
Yes, of course.
Pavo Cristati.
Pavo Cristati?
Peafowls, to be exact. A pair, a peacock and a peahen. Oh, and what beauties. An extremely rare species from Ceylon.
Oh, you're an ornithologist, eh, Mr. Higby?
Not exactly. Let's say I'm an opportunist. The peafowls will cost my client, Mr. Bibber, a pretty penny, but he wants what he wants.
Well, what does he want with a couple of peafowls?
Oh, just another costly item to enhance the magnificence of his estate on the Hudson. The peacocks will add a decorative touch to his terrace.
Sounds nice. Now, what did you want to see me about?
Sir, I would like to hire you to ensure that this treasure gets safely across the country.
Well, why do you need help getting two birds to New York?
My dear man, obviously you're not aware of the great value of these particular birds. Now, there are many collectors of the rare, the precious, and the unusual who would be only too glad to intercept them en route. Why, they're worth a king's ransom. Will you accept the job?
No.
No?
No, thank you. I don't want to work for Solomon Fisk Bibber.
I assure you it'll be well worth your while.
I don't want his money.
Well, Mr. Paladin, I'm just a businessman like yourself, although obviously not so fastidious. But this is very important to me. Well, if you won't help me across the country, will you please give me protection when I move the birds from the docks to the train? For a satisfactory fee, of course.
Our waterfront is a bit terrifying, isn't it?
Yes.
All right, Mr. Higby, I'll lend a hand to another businessman, but remember... Only from the docks to the train. Meg's Wharf. That's what we want, isn't it?
Yes. Good heavens, I've never seen such weather. Broad daylight, you can't see 3 feet ahead for the fog.
I think this is far enough. Ooh. Ooh. Yeah, sounds like they're unloading now.
All right.
Come on. So walk over where we can watch.
Right you are.
You'll recognize your crate, won't you?
Oh, by all means. Hey, I do believe that's the cage on the hook now. Hope they handle it carefully.
That... big things, a bird cage?
Oh, they're very large birds, you know.
I'm afraid I don't know much about them.
Well, possibly one of the most interesting of the Avis carinatae. The ancient Greeks, the peacock was known as Juno's bird. You see, the markings on the train were considered the 100 eyes of the giant Argus, set there by Juno.
Uh-huh.
Now, this particular strain is held sacred in India. It's fascinating, isn't it?
Hey, what's that?
That's the cry of the Pavo Cristati.
You mean tell me just two birds can make all that racket?
Oh, yes. Paladin, look at the way that cage is swinging in the air.
That's all right. The dock hand will steady it when it comes down.
Bringing it down awfully fast.
Yeah, they sure are. The cable must have slipped.
It's going to crash. I can't loop.
Hey. It's all right. It's all right, Higby. fall was just a few feet. They're not hurt.
But the cage is broken open. They'll get away.
Leave it to the dock hand. He'll take care of it. Hey, Higby. That bird is attacking that man. He's vicious. I'm going to have to stop.
No, Paladin. No, no, no. Put that gun away. Don't you dare.
Higby, let me go. Look at that thing he's doing.
Please, please let me handle him. Now you stay here. Oh, thank heavens they're safe. How fortunate. And he only lost two train feathers.
Yeah. But that dock hand nearly lost two eyes. So that's a peacock, huh? Are they always like that? Mean and loud?
It's hard to say. They're very unpredictable.
Higby, I've changed my mind. I'm going with you.
Fine. I hoped you would.
Yeah. I'm going to make sure that Solomon Fisk Bibber gets his Pavo Pistotti. He deserves them. This is certainly an elegant compartment. I must say, when you work for a Solomon Fisk Bibber, you go first class.
Yes, nothing but the best.
Well, now that I've convinced myself this is a worthy project, I'm glad I came along.
Good.
I can use some easy money.
Why, we seem to be stopping. I wonder why.
We're coming to a town. But I don't believe it's a scheduled stop for this express train.
Oh, somebody's at the door.
Yeah, I'll get it. Yes?
You Higby?
No, that's Mr. Higby. Conductor, we are wondering why the train's stopping.
Because this train don't carry no doctor, that's why.
Doctor? Somebody ill?
Yeah. One of my freight crew. He come out second best in a set-to with one of them misbegotten birds riding up there.
This? Man I paid to feed them?
Yeah. They finished their breakfast and they started in on him.
Oh, dear. Well, now what arrangements can I make to see that they're cared for?
Now, Mr. Higby, if them birds is going to eat, you're going to feed them yourself. There ain't nobody in this whole train will go within breaking distance of the critters.
Well, how can I manage that?
Well, I guess you'll have to ride the freight car with them. This express ain't making mealtime stops for them fiendish things.
You mean we ride to New York in the freight car?
Yeah. And another thing, you keep them fool things quiet. Folks in the first two cars set up all last night with loaded rifles, thinking the Comanches were closing in. Now you keep them quiet or off they go.
Nothing but the best.
These quarters are a bit cramped, aren't they? I'm not sure just how I'll manage.
Manage what?
Well, the birds should be exercised. I know. I'll let them out of the cage one at a time so that they can walk around a bit.
Yeah, we seem to be slowing down. Probably going to make a stop so the engine can take on water. Yeah, I think I'll climb out of this black hole and get the kinks out of my leg.
All right, now. Easy, easy. One at a time. All right, Mr. Peafowl. You can be first. No, no, no. Dip, dip. Mrs. You'll have to wait.
Here's where I get some fresh air. Ooh. Ooh, my back. Well, you want to join me?
Oh, no, thank you.
Now, hold on to that bird. I'm going to slide this door open.
Well, don't open it too wide.
Don't worry. Hey, it's stuck. I can't.
Here. Oh, get him, Paladin.
Hey, you come back. He's too fast for me.
I couldn't hold him. The noise of the door scared him.
Look at him go.
Well, we'll have to go after him.
Go after him? You crazy? I'd say it was good riddance.
We've got to get that bird.
Higby, be reasonable. We're in the middle of the desert. How do you figure we could ever find him? Anyway, you've still got the hen.
My agreement with Bibber was for the pair, payment on delivery. And I intend to get paid.
All right, what do you suggest?
Well, get some of the cord off that box in the corner.
What for?
We're going to make a collar and a leash for the hen and get off the train.
A collar and a... Oh, no, you can't be serious.
Of course I'm serious, but we'll have to hurry.
I won't have any part of such nonsense.
You accepted the job, Paladin.
All right, so I did. I've done some fool things in my time, but this beats all. walking through the desert with a peahen on a leash.
But the idea is sound, Paladin, really.
Oh, is it?
Yes. See, actually, we're approaching the mating season of the Pavo Cristatus. Now, at the proper time, the lady will call to the gentleman, and he will answer her call post-haste.
I see.
In other words, we've only to stay somewhere in the vicinity of Mr. Peafowl, and in due time, he'll come back to us.
But this is a big desert, Mr. Higby. You don't know how far he's gone.
Well, the mating cry of the peahen can be heard for many miles.
I can believe that. Well, as near as I can figure, we're about 10 miles south of the town of Whitewater. We better head that way and get a wagon. Did I say something about easy money? Oh, shut up.
And now, here are Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Bergen, why did you stop the car here?
Well, I want to talk to that farmer.
Oh, mister. Oh, you call me?
Why, it's Mortimer Snerd.
Oh, where? Oh, that's me.
Are there any General Motors dealers around here?
No, but we got some Chevrolet, Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Buick, and Cadillac dealers, though. And some Chevy and GMC truck dealers, too.
Well, Mortimer, those are all General Motors dealers.
No. Well, what do you want to see them all for?
Well, I only want to see one for guardian maintenance.
Do they make that car, too?
No, that's a service that's available only at General Motors dealers' service departments.
Oh, I see.
Yes. And right now, they're featuring complete lubrications, quality appearance services, brake adjustments, and front-end inspections. It's quality work performed by GM-trained servicemen at a fair price.
Well, that makes good sense even to me.
What did you find out?
We can get a wagon, all right, but the only way we can travel through that stretch of desert is in a wagon train with a cavalry escort.
Well, why is that?
Army order. Seems there's been an Indian uprising.
Oh. Well, what do we do?
Well, they're making up a train now. We can join it, all right, but I think our best bet is to take that fool peahen and try to make it back the other direction to the nearest railroad station.
No, Paladin. No, that peacock's somewhere out on that desert. We've got to find him.
Look, Higby, I know more about this than you do. Does the money you might get from Solomon Fisk Bibber mean more to you than your life?
It isn't that, Paladin. It's a matter of business ethics with me. I gave my word, and I intend to keep it.
Yep. I see what you mean. Well, come on. But that thing goes in a crate.
Lieutenant, he wants us to stop.
Who knows? Yes, Lieutenant?
All wagons into a circle when we reach that grove of cottonwoods ahead. Indians just over the ridge.
You expect attack?
Well, from our scout's report, we're greatly outnumbered. But we must be prepared to defend ourselves as best we can if necessary.
What's behind this uprising, Lieutenant?
The chief of this particular tribe, Old Many Feathers, was friendly to the whites. He died a short time ago. Some of the young bucks who didn't agree with his policies are trying to take over, stir up a bit of trouble.
I see.
As a bare possibility, they haven't spotted us. So no fires. And move as silently as possible.
Right.
Get up.
You hear that, Higby? The lieutenant wants silence. Pass the word along to the peahen.
All right, Paladin. I'll keep the blanket over the crate. That'll keep her quiet.
Higby.
Paladin, where have you been?
I had a talk with the lieutenant.
Oh, Paladin.
Look, Higby, it's almost dawn. If they're going to attack, it'll be any time now. That rifle you were issued, you have it handy?
Yes. Good. Paladin.
What?
Look up there on the top of that tallest cottonwood tree.
Oh, no. How'd she get up there?
Oh, she flew out of the crate when I opened it to feed her.
Oh,
went right for that spot, and she's been roosting there ever since.
What is that? What's that noise?
It's a bird, Lieutenant.
A what?
A bird in the top of that tree.
I never heard a bird that sounded like that.
Yeah, I don't suppose the Indians have either, and they'll probably be over to investigate. I guess our party better be alerted for an attack, Lieutenant.
Well, I'm afraid so. And if they come, don't waste ammunition. Let them get in range before you fire. I'll pass the word along.
Right.
Paladin, listen.
Yes, I hear it.
No, that's the peacock.
You mean he's come back?
Yes, he's answering the mating call, just as I said he would.
That's fine. That's fine. That's all we need. You hear that?
Indians?
Indians?
Oh, no.
Paladin, I've been fighting Indians for 15 years, and I've never seen the like. Here they come tearing down that slope. They must have outnumbered us 20 to 1. They get down to that clearing, stop, and without firing a single shot, ride on back up the hill. I tell you, it's got me baffled.
Well, it had me baffled too, Lieutenant, but I believe I have it figured.
Yeah?
Yes, it was our advance force that turned them back.
What?
The peacock.
That silly bird who was strutting back and forth down there in the clearing?
A pretty spectacular bird, you'll have to admit.
Yeah, all those feathers.
Uh-huh. Many feathers. The peacock was strutting back and forth down there with an I dare you attitude. Actually, he was following his instincts to protect his mate who was up there in the tree, but I'm convinced that those superstitious Indians who had never seen a peacock before felt it was the spirit of their old chief, Many Feathers, daring them to fire on his friends, the white men.
Yeah, that guess is as good as the next.
Yeah, it'll do until we can think of a better one.
Well, Paladin, I have that precious pair secured at last.
Then we're ready to go, huh?
Well, at least we have them halfway to New York.
What are you fellas doing traveling with those fool birds anyway?
Oh, picking up a little easy money.
Don't you want to go downstairs in lobby to read newspaper?
No, Miss Wong. I just want to rest and relax, and I think I stand a better chance up here in my room.
Oh.
When you finish cleaning and leave, I'm going to lock the door.
Hey, boy, tell me, you go all the way to New York, take birds, pea birds.
That's right.
You know, Mr. Paladin, in China, was great honor for emperor to give peacock feather.
Yes, so I understand. Peacock feather was considered some sort of an award,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yeah. This was a successful trip, Mr. Paladin?
Oh, very.
Oh.
Of course, by the time we delivered the birds to Mr. Solomon Fisk Bibber, the peacock looked pretty bedraggled. But his disposition was worse than ever.
Pepsi-Cola refreshes without filling. Why? Because it's truly light.
Charlie, you're forgetting something.
Wait, Kay, there's more. Yes, ice-cold Pepsi is the delicious refreshment that goes great at a picnic or a party.
But, Charlie...
And Pepsi goes fast. People like it, so keep plenty handy. There.
Oh, you did fine, except for one thing.
Well, I mentioned lightness and how Pepsi refreshes and how fast it goes.
You left out Pepsi sociability. You know the Be Sociable song.
But, Kay, I can't sing.
I can. Listen.
Be sociable. Look smart. Keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay young and fair and debonair. Be sociable. Have a Pepsi.
Well, at least I can say this. Pick up an extra carton of Pepsi today.
Please do.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed in Hollywood by Frank Paris.
and stars John Daner as Paladin, with Ben Wright as Hayboy and Virginia Gregg as Miss Wong. Tonight's story was specially written for Have Gun, Will Travel by Ann Dowd. Featured in the cast were Bartlett Robinson, Frank Cady, and Joseph Kearns. This is Hugh Douglas inviting you to join us again next week when CBS Radio presents Have Gun, Will Travel.